Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a framework for an air horn hit in Ableton Live 12 that feels right at home in deep jungle and darker drum and bass. Not a cheesy rave stab, not a random sample pasted on top of the tune. We want something rude, atmospheric, and intentional. Something that hits like a warning shot, then disappears before it steals the groove. Think of the horn as a marker, not a lead instrument. Its job is to redirect attention for a moment, to signal a phrase change, to answer the drums, to add pressure before a drop. In jungle and rollers, those short effects moments matter a lot, because they help the arrangement feel expensive, focused, and alive. So first, set up a dedicated FX track. Label it something like Horn FX. Keep it separate from your drums, bass, and atmosphere. That gives you freedom to process and automate it without messing up the rest of the mix. Now decide what role the horn is playing. Is it a warning hit before the drop? A response to a break fill? A tension layer in the intro? That decision matters, because the processing and automation should support the role. For deep jungle, the best horn usually feels short, direct, and a little dangerous. It should cut through fog, not sing over the whole track. Load your horn sample into Sampler. If it's a one-shot mode is fine. If you want a little more control over sustain and release, try Classic. Trim the start so the transient is clean, and remove any dead air before the hit. That alone can make a sample feel much tighter and more professional. Start shaping the tone. If the sample is too bright, low pass it a bit or use EQ 8 after Sampler. A useful starting point is a high pass somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, so the horn doesn't fight your sub. If it's biting too hard, make a small cut around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. And if the top end feels too modern, a gentle high shelf down above 8 or 10 kHz can help it sit deeper in the jungle atmosphere. The main thing here is focus. Don't boost everything. Commit to a narrow frequency identity. A good horn usually lives in the mid-range, where urgency lives. That's where the ear locks onto it. But you still need to leave space for the kick, the snare, and the bass line. Next, add grit. Put saturator after EQ 8 and bring in a little drive, maybe plus 2 to plus 7 dB to start. Turn on soft clip if needed, and trim the output so the level stays controlled. If the source is thin, you can stack a second saturator or use overdrive before EQ 8. Keep it subtle enough that it still sounds like a horn. We want grime and pressure, not a distorted synth pretending to be a horn. If you want a heavier jungle edge, try drum bus lightly. A little drive, a touch of crunch, maybe a small transient boost if the attack needs more snap. But again, don't overdo it. The goal is to make the horn feel rude and weighty, while still preserving that recognizable brass-like identity. Now let's build atmosphere. Create return tracks for reverb and echo. This is a much cleaner workflow than flooding the dry sound directly. On the reverb return, use a medium to large space, with a decay time somewhere around 1.2 to 2.8 seconds. Add some pre-delay, and filter the lows out of the return so it doesn't muddy the groove. On the echo return, try a rhythmic delay, maybe 1/8, 1/4, or 1/16 depending on how much movement you want. Again, filter the low end hard. Send the horn into these returns sparingly at first. The idea is to make it feel like it belongs inside an environment. Deep jungle horns often feel like they're echoing through tunnels, ruins, warehouses, or misty backstreets. That ambience is part of the vibe. Here's a strong arrangement trick. Automate more reverb on the last horn hit before a drop, then pull it back immediately when the drop lands. That creates a wake behind the sound. It makes the arrangement breathe, and it gives the phrase real contrast. Now tighten the envelope. If the horn is too long or it starts masking the drums, shorten the release in Sampler, or use the clip envelope to fade it faster after the transient. You can also gate unwanted tail noise if needed. In drum and bass, the best FX often peak fast and get out of the way. The transient should hit immediately, the body should be brief, and the tail should last only as long as the vibe needs. If you want a more cinematic texture, let the tail breathe a little longer, but then high pass the reverb return so it doesn't cloud the low mids. That keeps the atmosphere haunting without turning into mud. Now comes the most important part, movement. Don't leave the horn static. Automate it across the arrangement. This is where the sound starts feeling like part of the track instead of just a looped sample. Good parameters to automate are filter cutoff, saturator drive, reverb send, echo send, device on and off states, and even pitch if the phrase wants to rise or fall. Start broad. Big musical changes matter more than tiny micro tweaks. Here's a simple deep jungle automation idea. In the first four bars of the intro, keep the horn filtered and distant, with very little reverb. In bars 5 to 8, Open the filter a little and increase the reverb send on the last bar before the drop. Push the echo send up and maybe add a slight pitch rise, just one or two semitones. Then when the drop lands, pull the extra ambience back so the dry hit cuts hard. That's the game right there. You're telling the listener that something is coming. In DNB, arrangement energy often comes from small changes stacking every 4, 8, or 16 bars. A horn hit can be the thing that makes those changes feel like events. Make the horn interact with the drums and bassline. Place it where the groove has space. A great spot is the last half beat before a snare fill, or on the end of 4 before a drop. You can also let it answer a chopped break gap, or place it against a bass rest. That call and response approach works especially well when the bassline is busy. If the horn needs to sit more tightly in the pocket, sidechain it lightly to the kick or drum bus. Keep the compression gentle. Just a little gain reduction is enough to make it breathe with the groove. In jungle especially, the break is sacred. The horn should enhance the rhythm, not flatten it. Once the processing feels good, resample it. This is a classic Ableton move, and it speeds up your workflow a lot. You'll print the exact tone and automation, which means you can edit the audio more freely. You can reverse the tail, duplicate the hit, stutter it, or pitch parts of it down for a darker variation. A really useful approach is to keep two versions, one clean horn for impact and one resampled atmospheric version for texture. Use the clean one when you need attitude. Use the resampled one when you want mood. Now think in phrases. In an 8-bar framework, you might place one filtered horn hit in the intro, then bring in a more atmospheric hit near the end of the phrase. In a pre-drop section, use two hits closer together, with the second one wetter and more dramatic. On the drop itself, use one dry hit at the phrase start, then leave it alone for a while. That restraint gives the horn authority. If you use it too often, it loses power. A great rule is to save the biggest horn moment for the phrase change, not the middle of the loop. That keeps the arrangement DJ-friendly and gives the track scale. If the horn still feels a bit too sample pack, narrow its frequency identity even more. Trim the extremes, exaggerate one core band, and let contrast do the work. Deep jungle often sounds best when you lean into dry versus wet, centered versus slightly widened tail, short hit versus lingering atmosphere. Those contrasts make the sound feel alive. And if the horn isn't cutting through, don't immediately make it louder. First ask yourself, is the transient clear enough? Is the mid-range crowded by the bass? Is the reverb tail masking the attack? Often the fix is in the shape, not the volume. A really strong workflow is to mix the horn in context at a low level. If it still reads clearly when the track is quiet, it will usually hit hard on a bigger system. That's a great reality check. For a more advanced variation, try a call and answer setup. Make one version brighter, shorter, and drier. Then make a second version darker, slightly pitched down, and a bit more spacious. Place them a bar apart so it feels like the track is responding to itself. You can also duplicate the horn and pitch the second copy down by a couple of semitones for heavier mood, or go further down if you want more of a warning siren feel. Keep that copy lower in level so it supports the main hit instead of replacing it. Another strong move is a ghost layer. Make a very quiet copy with high passed low mids, heavier reverb, reduced transient, and a wider stereo image that gives you depth without making the sound obviously processed. You can even create a reverse pre-hit. Render a tail-heavy version, reverse it, and place it right before the main hit. That gives you a swell that feels like it's being pulled into the impact. For longer intros, auto-filter with a subtle LFO can make the horn feel alive without becoming a wobble effect. And if you want a little ominous instability, a tiny amount of frequency shifter can work really well, as long as you keep it extremely subtle. Here is the big takeaway. The horn should behave like an event. Use it as a phrase boundary signal, not background wallpaper. One hit in the intro, one in the pre-drop, one after the first switch-up. That kind of spacing keeps it powerful. So to recap the framework, build the horn with a clean transient, add controlled grit, shape the atmosphere with sends, and automate tone across the arrangement. Keep the sound mid-range forward, leave the low end clean, and let the horn evolve over 4 and 8 bar phrases. In deep jungle and darker DNB, restraint and contrast are what make it hit harder. Now go make it rude, make it atmospheric, and make sure it disappears before it steals the groove.